Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
1890 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That will cost you 30 cent. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. It is time for parenting once again. Joanna Fortune joins us once again. Joanna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
First question is this. My 11-year-old is entering puberty and I'm worried that she will start a period when she's not at home. She does a bit of extracurricular activity, so is out and about quite a bit. If she does start it at school, do national schools have a policy on this? She's fairly researched on it all, but reading about puberty and experiencing it are such different things. What can I do to help her without embarrassing her and making a huge deal out of it?
I mean, I suppose there's a couple of things in this for me. I think as a parent, our children growing up and hitting puberty is emotional, anxiety ridden. It's a provocative time for us as parents. And I think something in this letter just made me think of that maybe some of the anxiety you're holding about how it will be for her is actually how it will be for you, for her to go through this.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you've an 11-year-old and you've observed she's entering puberty and you've had the conversations and she's done the research, there is literally no way of predicting with accuracy when her period is going to happen precisely.
Yeah.
So all you can do is talk to her about it, which it sounds like you have done, but maybe talk to her a little bit more in terms of not just the mechanics of puberty, but having a practical little kit in her bag, be it her sports bag or her school bag, maybe put one in both, so that if she's caught out unexpectedly, that she is prepared and she knows, oh, I know what to do with this. And then to give her that plan B, that if this happens and you do feel upset or emotional, you go to the grown up in charge and ask them to call your mom or dad to come and get you. And that's all going to be done. In terms of, do national schools have a policy on how to handle a child getting their period in school? I doubt that's a written policy, but I do think puberty falls under the national RSE program, you know, Relationship and Sexuality Education program. So I think the best thing you could do is defer to your own school. Ask the teacher or principal, what do you do? And don't say if, because this definitely happens in school,
yeah,
and this won't be their first time. What do you do when this happens in school? And how can I prepare my daughter that if this happens, what to expect from you guys? I'm sure the school will offer great reassurance there. But I think, you know, there is a lot about, talk to her about your own experience, you know, what happened to you. And if that's less than ideal and traumatic, maybe do a positive reframing that, you know, these are the things I wish I'd known. So that's why I'm telling you, so that it is a better experience for you. But here's the things you can do. But I think keep the doors of communication open. Talk to her about what to expect. Have the little kit. Talk to the school. And just try and relax yourself, because I just pick up, and I could be wrong, but my inference is I pick up quite a bit of parental anxiety in this. And it is a big deal for parents.
Oh, no, yeah. Because, especially, I think I suspect more for the mother, because obviously the father wouldn't have that degree of insight that the mother would have for an obvious set of reasons, really. My 3-year-old girl's discipline was great at 1 and 2. Now, however, she's become a screamer, a stamper, a hitter. She cries at everything. And to be honest, has become a bit of a nightmare. She doesn't like the naughty step, or maybe we're not using it right. Any ideas for discipline of a 3-year-old?
Yeah, don't waste your time. I mean, disciplining a 3-year-old is only designed to drive parents insane. 1 to 3 is the tantrum zone. You've done really well to have a good 1 and 2. So it's quite normal for children this age to tantrum, because they don't have the vocabulary or emotional language to express fully what's going on for them. I'm frustrated, I'm overwhelmed, I'm whatever it is. So they show you in the language they have, which is their behaviour, and they act out. So I think the best thing you can do when it comes to disciplining an under 4-year-old, because cause and effect really hasn't kicked in fully. Even with the savvy 3-year-olds, they still don't get it consistently. So hit your own pause button and ask, is she or could she be hungry, thirsty, tired, unwell? Go there first. And if the behavior can be solved by a snack, a drink of water, a nap, or taking a temperature, go there first and don't even worry about the behaviour that's happened. So meet her where she's at, respond with empathy. Watch for any patterns though. Are there times of the day when you see more of this tantruming behaviour, when she's more likely to do it? Because that allows you to predict, oh, this is it, we're entering into tantrum zone, and you can preempt it and put a plan in place around distracting and redirecting her, because that's really all you can do for discipline. That doesn't mean you ignore the behaviour and let them away with it. That's not what I mean at all. You come down to their eye level, holding their hands, obviously, so they don't hit you when you're at the perfect level to be hit. And using a gentle yet firm voice, no, we don't do kicking, stamping, biting, whatever it is that's going on, then very quickly redirect them to a behaviour you want to see. The thing about the naughty step, and look, I've said it before, I'm not an advocate of the naughty step, timeout step, thinking step, whatever you want to call it. I'm not really an advocate of it because I think it works with very, very few children. When children are in a distressed state, isolating them and telling them, go calm yourself down, and when you're calmed, we'll talk.
Well, is that actually, doesn't work with adults either.
I was going to say there are adults who can't do that. And I think, you know, that you've a child who is still in a stage of co-regulating their emotions with their adult. So they can't self-regulate on that step on their own. Like, it just doesn't work. So when you say she doesn't like it, nobody likes it. It's not to be liked. But I would say that the cause and effect is your problem there. And I think I'd abandon that. I wouldn't do the step thing at all. Gentle yet firm no, redirection, distraction, and keep doing it. Just hitting your own pause button so that she doesn't manage to make you lose it when she's losing it. So, and don't react to every tantrum. The other thing I'd say, though, and I this comes up quite a bit with kids this age when they are entering into this zone of getting frustrated and tantruming, ensure they're getting outside enough. Ensure there is enough outdoor play and physical play and actual play in their day, because that's how they process and assimilate and work through things. And if they haven't had enough access to that, you will have a very frustrated child on your hands.
Could they also, especially when they're over three, use tantrums because they know they work?
That sounds like a very specific question.
Yeah, it is a very specific question. Like, I mean, because I find myself, especially in the morning, that I have to kind of make, which one am I going to let you have a tantrum about? Which one am I going to give in
and
on?
It may
because
be that
I just can't listen to
you. You've hit the nail on the head, especially when it's a morning time or a time of the day when the adults are busy and, you know, everyone's trying to get up, out, come on, we got to do drop-offs, go, go, go. And lots of children don't like that. They don't like to be rushed. They don't want you rushing off to work. They know it's a point of separation. So a tantrum is a very effective way of delaying everything and actually stopping you doing what you're doing and bringing all the focus back to me.
Yeah, but even at that, I don't know if it's always, yeah, maybe it is, but it's kind of like she can have mornings where I'm not going to eat that breakfast. I don't like those clothes. Oh my God. Look, where's my dolly? What did you do with my dolly?
Yeah.
You know, anything and everything becomes a source of a tantrum.
Because they're three.
Yeah, I know.
And
you can't,
it.
And you have to, the thing is that you know when the tantrum happens that you can't untantrum them.
Oh,
you're
no.
going to have to let it play
and
out
a tantrum
for a while.
Is, you know, a tantrum's a performance. It does need an audience.
Yes.
So
you're
very important in the tantrum.
Yeah.
But also, you know, some days I get up and I'm just not in the best of form and I'm having one of those no good, terrible, awful, very bad days and I don't want to hurry. And it is really important that I have pink socks on today.
Yeah.
I don't know why you don't get that. So there's nobody more single-minded than a toddler when it comes to this, and they can go much louder and longer than we can.
I want to dress up as Spider-Man. Right, last night our 2.5-year-old slapped our new 4-month-old son over the head while his mother was feeding him. I have twice in the last number of weeks seen him give the baby a few sneaky pinches, and yesterday he climbed into the cot and sat on the baby. His behaviour is really worrying me now. I will admit, when he slapped the baby I overreacted and shouted, and I think it may have scared him slightly. I generally very calmly say not to hurt his brother and not to be mean to him. My wife and I regularly tell him how much we love and try as best as we can to play with him one-on-one. How can I help him be kinder to his brother and to stop his behaviour before it gets worse?
Yeah, you're just going to have to keep it up. I mean, he's really young, like really young, and he's really aware of what this baby's getting, and he will perceive he is not getting and won't have a conscious memory that he got it when he was 4 months old.
Yeah,
he'll just see this little usurper has come along and hijacked my mom and dad from me and I'm not there. I'm very conscious that he hit his brother on the head while his mother was feeding him and he climbed into the cot and sat on him. And I suppose I'm wondering, did he climb in the cot to sit on him or did he climb into the cot to be like him? a baby in the cot.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, so I would tend to give him the benefit of the doubt, because behavioral regression is really normal around these life experiences. And yes, take every opportunity you have to praise positive behavior and give him little jobs to do, hold the wipes while mummy's doing the nappy of the baby, or you hold this and I'll do that, or stand beside me, sing to your brother while I'm doing something. Make him feel useful and lots of opportunities to praise him. It's great that you're giving him one-to-one time. I would say, if you can at all between you, increase that. And bear in mind, I'm not talking about take him off for hours on end. Little bursts, 15 minutes at a time, of really dedicated, uninterrupted one-to-one time is enough for him to get gotten and feel felt by you. And that's really what this is about. Do I still matter? Yeah. Am I still really important? And while you can tell him that, he's at a stage of development where it's about doing, not saying. So by doing the play, he gets it in a way that just telling him it's just words. It's not going in there.
Yeah.
So I would make, and also obviously make it very difficult for him to physically access the baby, because there is a safety thing there. But all children will experience jealousy to varying degrees at different times. And toddlers find it very hard to control their emotions in general. We were just talking about that, be it Spider-Man costumes or something. They just find, because they're so in what's happening for them, they don't have that perspective of, gosh, I might be overreacting here. They don't have that. You know? So I would, you know, when this happens, attend solely to the baby first, you know, poor baby, poor baby. And then gently yet firmly say, no, we don't hit in this family, whatever it is. And then involve him in, sorry, baby, gentle stroke of the baby, in the repair after the rupture.
Yeah.
Involve him in that, and then move him quickly on to something else. But you've got, you know, two and a half year olds are physical. They are boisterous. They are busy. They are rough and tumble. That's exactly where he is. It's just not very complimentary when you have a baby who doesn't need that kind of brotherly love right now, needs it in a different way. But I think be really tolerant, because that is a massive life event for a small child to go through, to have to make room in their lives for this and to understand, oh gosh, that baby's here to stay.
Yeah.
Every day.
Maybe he doesn't need to know that right now. Just going back to that question we had about the 11-year-old hitting puberty and having her first period. One texter says, my daughter started her period while my husband and I were away for a few days. She was staying with a friend. I felt so guilty for not being there. She was absolutely fine.
And I'm telling you, once they're prepared, the kids are fine for it. But it is really emotional for parents.
Yeah. Right. We're going to take a break after that. An 8-year-old who's disruptive in class. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent. Joanna is still with us. Next question is this. My son is 8 and has become disruptive in class. He has tantrums and cries a lot for not getting his way with his classmates. This could be during a project they're all working on, or in PE or the playground. At home he does this, but I reprimand him and he behaves again. I only become aware of this happening in school recently when the teacher seems quite exhausted by it. She says she had to put him at a desk on his own that day and has got too much. He normally loves school, his classmates and his teacher for that matter, but for some reason he's acting out with everyone. What do I do?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one, because it's initially you're thinking, oh, is it just in class? But then she says, you know, look, this happens at home and I'm able to nip it in the bud and say to him, no, don't do this, and that works. But in class, it's a little bit different, because there's more children there. There's more stimulation. There's more structure. It's a different environment. And how teacher handles it is probably different. I suppose for me, one of the things is it normal for an 8-year-old to have these tantrums, to get upset about not getting their way, to struggle with group interaction? And normal, not normal is a tricky one to say, but generally at 7 years old and above, we tend to expect a lot more from our children in terms of the capacity to emotionally self-regulate. So certainly to be disappointed or frustrated, but to be better able to handle it independently and while they're away from us. We would expect that. And largely then in school, the expectation about class participation and being able to behave yourself has also increased. So for me, I'm wondering, how was his developmental play? And there are three stages of that between 0 and 7. So you've got your messy sensory play, you've got your story, you know, where the two little characters talk to each other, that kind of projective narrative play. And then you've got role play, where, you know, they're not playing at the two little characters, they are the characters. And those stages of play are really important for children developing a sense of self and other awareness, to be able to engage in turn-taking, critical thinking, empathy, to be able to cope with situations like this and to ultimately cope and emotionally self-regulate when they're away from their parents. So if any of that play was not done fully with him, he could have a little gap in those developmental stages that are causing him an emotional wobble now. Also, I'd have to ask, you know, how is his screen time? Does he have a lot of screen time? Does it affect his behaviour one way or another? How is that managed? In terms, then you'd have to look at, does he go to bed at a set time? Is he sleeping enough? Is he eating well? You know, there's all of these kind of questions that would affect children's behaviour and emotional outbursts. But then it comes down to, could he simply at 8 years old be emotionally immature for his age? So chronologically he's 8, but emotionally could he be more 6? Because if you were writing in this about a 6-year-old, I wouldn't be like, I'd be going, oh yeah, well, they're 6, give them time. But for 8, we tend to go, oh, that's not acceptable. So I think you've got to look at his developmental age rather than chronological.
Mm. Though she says that that she only became aware of it recently happening at
school. And then that brings up for me, what's changed in school? So has there been any issues with friends? Has anybody moved away, like a friend he had who's no longer there? Have you noticed anything different about how he's inviting or being invited over for play dates with friends? Mm. Any of that? I would say talk to him when he's calm and don't come at it in a problem focused way. Look, your teacher was telling me there's a problem in school. I wouldn't frame it like that. I would go in much more wondering about what is going on in school and how's your day? What was the best bit about school recently? And what bit about school would you like to change? Is there a part of the day that doesn't go well for you? But basically at this stage, he sounds to me like he still needs to emotionally co-regulate. So leaving him to calm down in isolation, like at a desk on his own, while I understand the teacher might have had no other option and be at the end of her tether or his tether, it actually won't help.
Mm.
Because if he could calm down on his own, then he wouldn't need this input.
Yeah, indeed.
So
it's like the naughty step. It's a similar
concept and it just doesn't work. So I would say if you're going, look, nothing has happened in school. There's been no issues with friends. This is just something that has been gradually building and now it's at a crescendo and spilling out from home into school. Consider bringing him for some play therapy sessions that in a play language way, non-directively, would allow him explore and express what's going on. Obviously, make sure the person you go to is fully trained and accredited and all of that.
Yeah. My 3-year-old has lately been refusing to wear any of her clothes. She's been very picky about her clothes for almost a year. And up until now, she's been OK as long as we take the time to let her choose from her wardrobe. Lately, she's refused to choose and refuses the clothes we choose for her. We have been forcing her into her clothes and are at her wits' ends. By the way, she loves going to creche after she is dressed. I'm reluctant to take her shopping and letting her choose because, I mean, she's 3. We shouldn't have that much control at such a young age. I feel anyway, I don't think we can continue down this path and I hate seeing her upset, but I need to set boundaries. Any advice on what I can do?
I mean, yeah, you're on the right track. You absolutely need to set boundaries. It's the right age to be doing it. I'm wondering initially, is there a pattern to what she will or won't wear? And I mean, in terms of color, texture, materials, like yes to skirts, no to denim, yes to leggings, no to whatever else. You know, like, is there something she's, I don't like tights, so I'm not going to ever wear those, or I'm not going, you know, whatever it is. Is there a pattern? Because that could be more of a sensory motivation. Maybe if you're saying, nope, she's just really, really picky, then that's her little personality emerging. And that whole age, when they're at that stage, there's so much independence that they want, and yet they're still very dependent in every way. So when they see pockets of where they can assert their will, they go for it, like really, really go for it, like the other 3-year-old we're talking about. So, you know, I think, you know, if it's just her clothes or if it's something else, I would be looking at choices. I think at one stage of parenting, and you know, when people talk about parenting styles, I think we lost the run of ourselves with giving children choices and saying, what would you like to do? And what would you like to drink?
Oh,
and
that should
never be how, you should never open the wardrobe and say, what would you like to wear today?
No, you bring down 2 sets of socks and go, those ones are those ones.
Now you pick 2 things that you are absolutely happy with either option, but lucky her, she gets to pick A or B. And then she feels, well, I am getting to choose, but it's my expression is within your scaffolding, your structure. So you're saying these are the parameters. I'm going to keep an eye on the big stuff and you get to decide on the little stuff. So how you present choices is key. That's going to be really, really important. Set her up to feel good. Ensure you have the time, because letting her pick even A and B and humming and hawing about her outfits, you might need an extra 15 minutes to your morning routine than you currently have. So if you're going to give her any kind of choice, do this. But nobody wants to start their day fighting and battling. It's distressing, not just for a little child, but for parents as well. But I think the important thing is, if you do the choice within A and B, then you are encouraging her to express her will, but you are holding that boundary that you quite rightly identify you need to do.
Yeah. Somebody else is texting to say, wait, what? The naughty step doesn't work? I thought that was the proper modern parent discipline method. I'm panicking now.
No, I'm very much a time in instead of time out person, just to really, you know, wreck your head and go, you've just nailed time out. What's this time in malarkey? I think to expect, especially young children under 7, to calm down and self-regulate when they're in a distressed state, which is what we're asking them to do when we put them on a whatever, a chair, a step or whatever it is, to stay away from us, is actually going to exacerbate it. I think it works with very, very few children. But like anything, anything can be made to look 100% successful if you only pick the kids it works with.
Of course it can. The Joseph in Leash says, I had to pull over to text you. I have a 5-year-old girl, a 3-year-old girl, a 17-month-old boy. I can safely say I didn't know what stress was till I had children. If most people knew how difficult it is to rear children, most people wouldn't have children. Having said that, I can't imagine my life without them. Well, there you go.
Well, that's the way it goes, though, isn't it?
That's an odd contradiction, isn't it?
The joy outweighs the pressure, really.
And Laura in Cork says, my 4-year-old, who never enjoys the radio, just said she loves this news, i.e. the parenting slot, because she's a bit nosy. So could you say hi to Polly and her brother Alfie, who she would never, ever hit? Says Laura, I'm glad to hear
that.
Well
done, Polly.
So hello to Polly and to Alfie, and can you continue to be good children and listen to the news. Joanna, thanks a million
for coming in
to us today. Well, take a break after that, the aftermath in Germany.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.